Charles, you were talking about the transition to from Peck High School to Fernandina Beach public school system and the integration there. And you taught it at the junior high, and you were talking that there really weren't incidents, and both the whites and the African American parents said, you respect that teacher, mm-hmm. this is your teacher. Were all of the teachers at Peck able to find employment in the public school, the integrated public school system?
Yes, they were, because they were distributed throughout the county, from Callahan all over to this area. And with the enrollment of the different toward the different schools, those teachers had to be added on to the curriculums of the various schools. And they were taken up, all were given jobs that wanted jobs.
Wow. That must have just been a very exciting time. Did you find that Fernandina Beach, that the facilities and the equipment and the education was able to be better because it was better financed?
It was, as far as some of the equipment is concerned, there were more some situations, but there wasn't any drastic change difference, because it all depended on how the curriculum was set up and just what you, as teachers, decided that you wanted in that particular, using that classroom, and it was handled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I had heard that Peck High School was one of the top schools.
It was because people had a feeling for wanting the kids to be excel, mm-hmm. and we had the novelty of interacting with parents. Parents just thought when they went to that, when a kid attended that school, it was the teacher was the last word. In other words, there wasn't any animosity toward the teacher, what have you. They allowed the teacher to discipline that child or do what needed to be done. Yeah.
Charles, I'd like to switch gears now and talk about your political career. When did you decide to run for city commission, and tell me about how and why you decided to do so? It's a lot.
It's sort of a spur of the moment thing. Because my dad always told us that two things he did not want us to be involved in. He wanted us to get an education, but he did not want us to be policemen or deal in politics. So I listened to him, and that wasn't on my mind until I started reacting with Pop Warner. I coached Pop Warner football and Little League baseball, and react with parents and what have you. And parents began to come say to me, why don't you run for city council and this thing and that thing? And I started thinking, I said, well, most people know me and they're asking me to serve. And I mentioned it to my wife, and she said, well, that's up to you. But then I had to go and satisfy my dad, because my dad said that, you know, I mentioned that he did not want us to do any of those things, policemen or either political work. And he was in Food Fair. We had a store here called Food Fair right down on the corner down there. And he was standing, my mother was doing the shopping, and he would just stand around and talk to people. And I went to him and I said, Dad, they're asking me to run for city council. And he just said, why not? And he surprised me, you know. And then I said, oh, okay. So then we had a man in town by the name of Lewis Williams. He was one of the outstanding citizens. He ran the island, I don't know whether you've heard of it, but he ran the island bar, the number one bar.
The island bar?
The island bar.
What was the name of that bar?
Huh?
Is that the island bar?
Island bar.
That was the name of it, the island bar?
Yes, island bar. And his associate was the Williams people in Fernandina, they were sort of the power of Fernandina with finance and all that sort of thing.
Were they white or black?
White.
White, okay.
And, but he set up his bar all under them and we worked together.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to my house one day and he said, I need to talk to you. He said, the people just think it's time for a black to be on the city council. And the citizen, the person whom I was supposed to run against was, she's a power figure, you know. She's powerful for years.
Do you remember her name?
Yes. Miss Butler.
Butler?
Yes. She was outstanding. Had been a city council lady for years. And so I said, well, man, how do you think I'm going to be there? He said, the people just think it's about time that we get a black in the city. And sure enough, I...
So whites were encouraging you?
Oh, yeah, the whites. And when I found out that my students and my the whites, citizens, would come up to me and say something, and I said, well, maybe I have a chance. And sure enough, I did. The first time I ran.
What year was that you ran?
That was 78, I think it
1978?
1978. It may, plus or minus, but mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's 78. And my associate with down through the years of teaching kids and parents just made me compatible enough, because I always tried to treat people in a way, if I see you today, I want to make sure I'm able to see you again tomorrow. I don't have to duck and run around the corner away from you, see. And I always enjoyed the city, especially in youth athletics and all that sort of thing. And sure enough, I ran, and it's amazing. It's a long story.
Well, let's hear the story.
Well, the main thing that we used to right down the corner, you know where the fire department is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right on that corner was where all the candidates would sit, and they would... We would sit there and just wait and watch the people go by as they go in the vote in the city hall. And they would come by and they would talk to my opponent. And they'd be talking to my opponent and talking to my opponent. I said, gee whiz. And at the same time, they would give me a sign behind their back. You know, like that. And that would tell me, I'm talking, but I got you. Yeah, and sure enough, I said, gee whiz, you mean to tell me they set me up like this? And not? And sure enough, she told me, my opponent told me, he said, Charles, I just want to give you some advice. You lose this time, don't give up, because you have a lot of contacts and it seems as though people are for you. But she was so sure that she won that time. And I said to myself, I said, now, all those signs I'm giving on my back, those people have to be telling me the truth, you know. Mm. And sure enough, they did. And that night, when they started figuring up everything and all telling the votes, and I came out on top, they asked her how she felt about it. She said, I feel like the Dickens. Because she didn't have any dream that I could beat her, because she's powerful. Her husband was powerful also. His name was Gordon Butler. He's one of the main leaders in this area as far as politicians concerned. But I found out that if you treat people right and not try to set up any phony situations, everything will work out for you. Yes.
Excuse me, this was for the city council member or
yeah.
City commissioner?
Same thing.
And did you have, I mean, we think of politicians running for big, great reasons. Did you have an agenda? Do you have a plan? Did you think, well, if I'm in there, I can do something? Or did you feel like you were just being called to serve and...
Yes, I had an agenda but my agenda came after I got in and really started studying the situation, because I found out that I needed things in my area what year I lived and all that sort of thing, I could point those situations out instead of just go by the wayside, mm-hmm. for people not being from the area. And that's one of the greatest assets about it. You can always listen to problems with people. And that's white and black. I mean, they would come to you because the thing that I enjoyed was not putting myself in a corner. In other words, if you had a problem, it could be out on the beach, and you came and talked to me about that problem. I wouldn't let you know how I was going to vote. I'd say, I'll take it into consideration. They always told me a boxer in the ring, you always have to leave myself an out. He can't get jammed up in the corner.
Right.
And I always thought about ask me to bring something up for discussion, not say, okay, I'm going to get it done for you. You're doing wrong when you do that, because if it's not, if you get there and vote against what you said, you can't hardly get out that door to go home because the people are angry with you. So I would always say, I'll give it consideration. I'll study it carefully.
Can you give me any examples of some of the things that you were able to accomplish? You talk about, you know, like resources not available in the community. Some examples of some of the things that City Commission did or you were able to get done?
Yes. I can think of one right away. That was the Dr. King holiday. We had a workshop because all the commissioners were saying, we need to study this situation. We need to study it carefully. And sure enough, we had the workshop. And we sat around and those guys talked about how we going to handle this and how we going to do this and how would it affect the budget and all that sort of thing and what we need to do. But I found out what the problem was. Those guys, the whites, didn't want to make the motion. So when I found out that, and I found out, I just sat there and just listened at the guys talking backwards and forth. So finally, the guys, we met at 9 o'clock that morning, and by 12 o'clock, one of the guys said, I'm hungry. Now's my time. Said, we got to go to lunch. And we've been in this workshop ever since 9 o'clock this morning. So I made a motion that we, as far as the city is concerned, we will accept Dr. King's holiday as a national holiday. And those guys said, I'm in favor. And so since we did it as a city, the county, and there wasn't any anger, wasn't any fussing or anything, and the county accepted too. They said, well, if the city did it, we as a county, we're going to have to do it also. So we got a national holiday in that way. But a lot of people thought that I was just too quiet, but I just couldn't see how I could attack problems by getting out there just beating the bushes and stomping on things when I only have one vote.
Right.
I have to be compatible with all these other guys up there. And if you get there and discuss the issue and listen to the debate, you can get things done. But if I get there and say, all right, guys, let's do this, and now you better do this, you haven't done a thing. Those guys don't push them around.
Right.
You don't push them around.
You became mayor about 10 years later, around 1987.
87, somewhere along.
Was the mayor an elected position, mm-hmm. or is it chosen from the city
among council?
How did it come about that you were selected mayor?
It's the group of guys decide who they want to be mayor. And the mayor of our situation is that it's more of a ceremonial thing. In other words, I go out and meet church functions and different things in the city, and then I sign documents and all that sort of thing. That's the main thing about the mayor of the city goes. And at the meetings, I have to chair the meetings and make sure we keep order and all that stuff.
What would you consider some of your greatest achievements? You mentioned the Martin Luther King holiday, but other than that, serving on city council, do you have any kind of list of your top three or four achievements that you feel like you accomplished?
Well, that Dr. King situation was one. And the main thing that I take great pride in is being able to work with kids during the year in school. And when I go to places like Winn-Dixie and all of the stores, and I can look those kids in the face and they're having their families and all, that's one of the greatest accomplishments to me. I just always wanted to be fair. That was my forte.
Do you think that city government has changed much since the years you were on it?
Well, yeah, to a certain extent it's changed some, because we have people who are on the city council that's not Fernandina originated. They look at things from a different perspective than when I was on the commission, because when I was on the commission we used to think about how we would keep things sort of low-key, so to speak. And now we have so much growth and development, which we can't stop, but it just, we had, during that time when I was on, we had more people who were living in the, who were from this area. And,
who were natives to this area,
natives,
yeah.
That's the word, natives, yeah. And now it's, we have people coming from all up north and what have you, and they're from the big city mentality.
I know it's hard to toot your own horn, but can you go back and just kind of think about some of your other accomplishments, because you've served for such a long time on the council as well as the mayor?
Yeah. Dr. King, holiday. There's another one that I can't think of right off.
So let's go back.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Charles, we were talking about some of your what you're most proud of accomplishing as a city commissioner, and we talked about the Martin Luther King holiday and just being able to have close, good relationships with the community and listen to them and try and improve or correct the problems that they saw if those were legitimate. Are there any other accomplishments that you can think about?
Yeah, I think about the waterfront down here. When I got on the city council, there was so much rift between city and county. And they just, in other words, the county would set up rules and regulations based on county, not taking consideration how it would affect the city. And those situations, I thought, wasn't good at all, because we all pay taxes, and then we brought in that double taxing situation, double taxation. And we would have meetings, and the city and county, you could tell it was a rift. And we would sit and talk, and finally I would say to them, why not we take consideration that we respect each other's ideas, then we decide how things should be set up. And they began to work down here, especially the city marina down here, that we had it dredged out, and those things, city and county began to talk with each other. But before then, it was a lot of rift between city and county. Yeah, I'd like that very much, when we could talk with each other.
What was the relationship between the African Americans in Fernandina and the American Beach and the activities on the south end of the island?
Yes, that's the point. We need to really needed to take in consideration so that we can make it better. Because they, for example, they put this establishment down there, that that place, that house. Don't worry about it. We put that auditorium down on the beach.
Uh-huh.
And when they had the ceremony, no one, the city officials were not even mentioned.
Wow.
At all. Don't worry about it. You can.
How long ago was this? What?
That was done last, let's see, this is...
That was just last summer.
Yeah,
oh, I was just, I thought we were talking about when you were...
No.
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
Well, before, when I was on, still, they would make, because it was the Afro-American insurance company development, they still think that that's, everything should be set up around the Jacksonville structure. Mm-hmm. And the city is not recommended, we don't think about that at all as far as them coming to us and letting us know what's going on.
Did the African, I mean, once the beaches were started to be integrated, did the African Americans in Fernandina, did they much socialize at American Beach? Because American Beach continued after that for a while. I mean, or did you find that it was mainly Jacksonville people that went to American Beach, and the Fernandina people just didn't have much to do with what was going on?
No, it's that's true. It's Fernandina, after integration, then everybody went the different ways, and most of the people around Fernandina went out to Main Beach and what have you. And a lot of the Jacksonville people who have properties all around down the area, they would just set up things as if it was Jacksonville's area. And that's something we need to really take in consideration and keep the people in mind right here locally. Because a lot of things we see happening could be improved if we just keep ourselves abreast of what's going on.
So the city was not much involved, or the African Americans in the city, with the efforts that Mavini and others had to preserve American Beach.
No, they didn't. It was just Marvin, when she was there, she made connection with the city on on occasions. But as far as any other activities or what have you, it wasn't any.
Okay. You've spent a lifetime in this area. What do you consider some of the biggest changes that you've observed here since your involvement? You know, what are some of the major changes you've noticed in Fernandina over your lifetime?
Traffic. I remember a time when we were in high school or what have you. We could, some of the kids put up skates and just skate all the way down. Put skates and move all the way downtown. Okay. I mean, skate all the way downtown. But now, we just have to make sure that we are aware of what's going on all the time. That's the main thing.
Right.
Is the population. Changing population.
In what ways has race relations improved, and in what ways do you think race relations may have deteriorated over your lifetime?
It has improved from the point of accommodations, and that's the main thing. But as far as knowing people and reacting with people, it's strange because we just not on. But if you want to react with people in any setting, you can, if you think you can fit in. So the churches and what have you, everything is, you can go where you want to. So it's up to the individual.
Right, to make their own opportunity.
Make their own opportunity. Either decide where they want to go or do.
Is there any questions that anybody else has? Is there anything that you would like to add to this interview? Any experiences or incidents that you can think of that you want to share with us that we haven't asked about?
Well, I just I like the relationship of my dad and family had with raising us, and during that time, people were more conscious of, in other words, when I say people, I'm talking about the salespeople. In other words, if you, your needs were different. So if your needs were different, they were accommodated if you kept your word of what you're supposed to do. Because I can remember stores downtown, the Yes Allens and the Partons and all those. My dad and mother could go anywhere they want to run and get what they want, because they developed a camaraderie and a reputation that if I say I'm going to pay you on the end of the month, they did, and you didn't have any problem with getting what you want. But now it's sort of disgusting to the point where everything is set up on a credit history.
Life was more personal back then.
I guess because the smaller the number, maybe.
We didn't have everything automated. The credit history.
Right. There wasn't all that automation.
The computer and all that sort of
we
thing.
We had to trust people. And
yeah. But now, it's everything is in the computer and whatever.
How about the honey dripper? You didn't mention that. I understand.
The honey dripper, yeah. I want to make sure the honey dripper.
Yeah, but I figure you're too young to know about the honey dripper.
Well, I'm thinking my business to learn about history.
The honey dripper, that was one of the number one places that people attend.
Uh-huh.
And
could you describe it and tell us?
It was a place where people went and sat down and drank and had fun, and they danced and listened to the music, and it was really good. Yeah.
Was it mainly young people that attended, or just
was,
everybody in the African-American?
I would say the ages would blend in all the way,
mm-hmm.
seniors right on down to young people. Some teenagers would be there, but they weren't supposed to be, but they would be there.
Do you know how long that was in existence when it started and ended?
No, I can't. Well, I know from the 60s all the way up to 75, somewhere there.
The honey dripper existed?
Yes, yeah. Honey dripper existed. That was one of the main places.
Who was the owner, do you know?
I don't know his name, but I did know him, but I can't remember his name.
Where was it?
Down on the Miyala. Like you're going to, before you get to, you know where that Jiffy Market is? Going on down to the plantation.
Yeah.
You got a Jiffy Market around the corner of Lewis Street.
Mm-hmm.
So you, instead of.
Oh, it was on the.
It was on the left
yeah.
side.
Yeah.
Back up in the curb. Yeah, that was done.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I think.
It was
still there. They just knocked it down a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. Concludes our interview with Charles Albert, and I want to thank you for sharing your recollections with me on behalf of the Amelia Island Museum of History. You've had a fascinating life, and a life that all of us can respect and admire, and we really appreciate you sharing your experiences with us.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you.